This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Dear Prudence. I'm your Prudence, Janae Desmond-Harris. Today, we'll be answering letters about what to do with wedding photos that include a sibling's ex, how to break it to your dad that he's not invited to walk you down the aisle, and whether it's okay to tell loved ones you never want to vacation with them. Here to help me out is Caroline Moss. She's an author and the host of the podcast, Gee Thanks Just Bought It, where she talks about what she bought and what you might need to buy next. It was born after she started tweeting about all her weird Amazon finds and purchases, and it will make you want to buy a lot of stuff. She used to write the advice column asking for a friend, so she actually has a little experience with what we're doing here today. Hey, Caroline, thank you for being here.
Hey, Danae, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So before we get started, I want to ask you to give one piece of completely unsolicited advice on any topic you'd like to talk about.
Okay, I have thought about this, and I'm going to land on a very piece of like solid, just get it done advice, which is in March, if you can, book your holiday travel.
Wow.
It is so much cheaper.
You have to be a special kind of person to do that. Like your real advice is be an organized person. Get your life together, get better at decision making. That's a tall ask, but I'm sure it works well.
It doesn't mean you have to be super organized. I just want you to be motivated by a lower price point.
Okay.
And I have only had good luck booking in March because the thing is that people, a lot of people think when they book in like August or September that they're early. They're not early.
Right. Because when people start mentioning holidays in August, I'm like, what are you talking about? Or people who start talking about like even Halloween costumes in summer. I'm just like, you're getting ahead of yourself. What are you doing? But those are the people who have a Halloween costume.
I'm not there yet. But what I can do is I will book a flight and feel really like self-righteous about the little amount that I paid, even if the flight is not for like 9 months. So that's my best piece of advice to feel. It's a small thing you can do to like make you feel like you really have it together.
And then if you feel like you saved $200 or $300 or whatever, you can just spend that money because it's free.
Right.
Because you saved it on holiday travel. So you're not really spending it on Amazon, right?
Right. Exactly. So you understand my philosophy.
Yeah. Then.
All right. Yeah. Don't even have to explain that. Right. That's free money. And that is for you to go shopping with as a congratulations for booking your holiday flights in, you know, by St. Patrick's Day.
Sounds right to me. Okay. Caroline and I will dive into your questions after a short break. Can't get enough Dear Prudence? Then you should definitely join Slate Plus, Slate's membership program. You'll get to hear me answer an extra question every week just for members. With your subscription, you get ad-free listening across the Slate network and unlimited reading on the Slate site, including all Dear Prudence columns, past and present. Go to slate.com/prudyplus to sign up. It's just $15 for your first 3 months. Again, that's slate.com/prudyplus.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dear Prudence, and I'm here with Caroline Moss. Let's get started with our first letter. It's not you, it's me.
I'm just finishing up a vacation with a dear friend of mine, and I have come to an important decision. Apart from my significant other, I want to vacation solo for the rest of my life. What was going to be a relaxing vacation to unwind before the school year starts up again, and my workload is getting tripled while our department has been cut by 33%, was a week of me doing everything for the two of us and not getting a lick of alone time. If I stayed back, they stayed back. If I went out, they went out. Don't get me wrong, I had fun and I love my friend dearly, and I got to explore a part of a country I had never been to before, but I'm so frustrated by how they relied on me to do everything. Look, it makes a certain amount of sense. I'm very well traveled, I'm an excellent problem solver, I'm not afraid to ask for help, and the one thing I seem to be able to catch on to quickly is foreign public transit. Still, I'm resentful instead of well-rested. And it's not just her. I really don't think I travel well with anyone. My parents, I have to be on all the time and usually act as their go-between with the locals, so I'm a tour guide getting a free vacation. Not the worst trade-off if you're into it, but I'm not. My aforementioned significant other has to always be doing something constructive with his time, needs fewer breaks, and has zero situational awareness. He's white, male, lives in a city where eye contact is not recommended, and again, he lets me handle the travel stuff, but at least he's a good navigator. My coworkers only like one type of vacation, and I'd rather spend my time doing something else, but at least they get that I'll be off doing my own thing and meet them for dinner. I know I'm being picky. I know I'm being unreasonable in my expectations, but I don't care. I spent 10 years backpacking the world and making friends and working, and I had a fantastic time doing everything on my own terms. It wasn't easy, nor was it particularly restful, but it suited me. I thought when my friends got into a financial place where we could vacation together, it would be a blast. But in every scenario, I'm underwhelmed, disappointed, and overworked. My friend I'm on vacation with currently has recommended we do this every year since we travel so well together. Before you go on the communication route, I gave her clear expectations of what I imagined this vacation to be. It was my vacation, and after she expressed interest, I invited her along, and she said she agreed. That being said, she's contributed nearly half to everything, and that does give her equal voice in what we do, and people are allowed to change their mind about what they want. I just wish they didn't, when I know exactly what I want. I know if I had encouraged her to do some of the navigating for me, I would have been driven crazy with her inefficiency. I did ask for alone time in the beginning, but I saw I was hurting her feelings, and we did have fun together. It just wasn't what I needed or looked forward to. And I cannot stand to hurt a friend's feelings due to my neuroses. I'm also invited to a girls' weekend in October and a vacation with colleagues in February. I think the most I can handle is one vacation with my significant other per year and one big solo vacation. Any ideas how I can just say no to people I genuinely like, get along with, and appreciate as the lovely individuals they are, but have no desire traveling with, without coming off as snobby, petulant, and neurotic? After my grandfather passed last year and moving with my significant other, money is very much not an object. So that's a no-go. And I would prefer not to lie.
So there's a lot to unpack here. I'll just take really one line is. That jumped out at me. If I stayed back, they stayed back. If I went out, they went out. Does that sound pretty reasonable for a vacation with a friend to you, to do things together?
It does to me.
Yeah, I feel like unless you decide something else, and I know people do, like I like to go off and do my own thing, so I'll be on an excursion by myself, or I'll be in the room sleeping. You pretty much expect to hang out with the friend you went on vacation with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really agree. I mean, I totally respect where the letter writer is coming from. I find trips with other people and especially groups kind of challenging because no matter how much I love them, I find it difficult to have to talk from the minute I open my eyes until the minute I go to sleep at night. It just drains something out of me. So I don't know. Do you feel like this is a reasonable position to have?
I feel like it's understandable.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would say it's reasonable just because I relate to this so deeply, maybe not on the level of travel, but like this person loves control. This
person, my God. Like,
knows what they want, knows when they want to do it. And what really stood out to me about this letter was like, I like had this whole thing planned. I knew what I wanted to do. And then I invited them along and I was like, well, that was your mistake because it was helpful that this person gave the context of the financial aspect was met by half by their friend. It's like you invited them along, but you're not paying for them. So that they do get a say. I think what it sounds like is like they already know they do better on their own. They like being able to make decisions and do what they want to do. And part of the trade-off of getting to have company in these trips is that you do kind of have to like relinquish some of that control. I would say maybe the issue is just that like the length of time was too long. Like maybe you plan trips or you plan your own trips and invite people along, but just for like a very short leg of the trip.
That's actually a really good idea. I had not thought about that. I was going to tell her just, I think you're making this a little bit harder than it has to be. You travel better by yourself. So instead of saying to your friends, I don't want you to come with me anymore. I don't like it. I have to do everything. I'm totally type A. You're incompetent when it comes to navigating. I end up frustrated. You don't pull your weight. You can actually just say, you know, I think this is going to be the beginning of my solo travel era. I love it. It's great for me. It's what I need to feel rejuvenated and really relax, and it's empowering to me. So for this year, I'll just be doing trips by myself and maybe one with my significant other. And I don't think anyone's going to really dig too much deeper. They might be a little bit disappointed, but it's not an out of control thing to say, right?
No, not at all. And I also agree that, like, you know, I understand the difficulty of sharing space and time and plans with other people does mean that they don't all belong to you.
Right.
And I think that's honestly just fair to say to someone. I think you can just say, like, this is what I've learned about myself. Mm-hmm. And I think if this is a friend that you're close enough that you're taking these excursions to, you know, abroad, like, I would hope that these are the conversations that you could have. But I feel like is this is a person who is equal parts type A and controlling. And like they like to kind of control their own environment and kind of know the outcomes of what's coming, but also kind of a people pleaser.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like this difficult position that many letter writers find themselves in is that they say, like, I'm this way. This is the way I am. But I don't want to be seen as that way. Like, I feel very strongly that it's okay, but I don't want to suffer any of the emotional consequences of people thinking of me that way. And you kind of can't have it both ways, you know? I think you have to own, I'm type A, I'm a little controlling, I'm really finicky, I like to do my own thing. And if your friends love you, they'll embrace that about you. We all have that friend, right?
Totally, totally. And I would also suggest, like, just trying to work on, because I think it's helpful in all seasons and aspects of life, work on relinquishing a little bit of that control.
Yeah.
And understanding that it's not always, because on the same hand, they're also saying like, but I hate doing all the planning and I hate doing all the, but I'm like, but you sound like you're really good at it. And you also sound like you would be upset if you left it in the hands of someone less capable than you are.
Well, yeah, at one point she mentions, you know, I couldn't stand the inefficiency of watching someone else do it.
Right.
So there's that.
I think she's having kind of a hard time grappling with who she is in this regard.
I completely agree. And I think she can own who she is by mostly doing solo trips. But I love the addition of your idea to do like a weekend trip here and there, a couple of days with a friend. And I would just say on those trips, you need to like reframe the intention in your mind. It's not to be efficient. It's not to see all the tourist destinations. It's not to get the most out of it. It's to spend time together.
Right.
It's to spend time together. So if you spend time together having the hotel breakfast and getting lost on the way to the beach and going to a subpar dinner, it's okay because you were with your friend and you weren't like in your phone in Google Maps on Yelp the whole time planning the next step. You were present with them and you were enjoying them. And just as a final note, she suggests that she can't lie about travel because she like inherited money. Nobody has access to your bank account. Nobody's going to be asking you questions about why you can't go on 9 trips. It's reasonable to go on a few and plan them the way you want. You're going to be okay.
Absolutely.
Our next question is titled Wedding Photo Warrior.
My younger brother is getting married this year to a girl who I haven't been able to get to know that well during their 2-year relationship. From what I have gotten to know about her, she seems like a fine person, just not someone I would naturally click with. To add to that, my brother shared with me some of the fights that they have gotten into, and it has soured my opinion on her. I don't know how accurate my assessment is since I haven't gotten the chance to spend much time with her, but I get the impression that she is a type A perfectionist who can be jealous at times. I don't think this necessarily makes her a bad person, but it has made it hard to connect with her as I am quite the opposite. We are also in very different places in life. I am 40 with 2 small kids, and she is 29 and just ending her single life. I say all this to give you some context to the dilemma that I am in. I have a large framed photo from my wedding day 7 years ago hanging in my living room. It is not front and center, but when guests are in the room, they eventually make their way over to it and give it a look. There are about 80 people in the photo, including some family that I don't speak to anymore after we got into some heated political arguments at family functions. Despite this, I still love the photo, as it represents a really special day, and I've always wanted this type of photo from my wedding day to be displayed in my home. The problem is that my brother is front and center with his arm around an ex-girlfriend in the photo. To make it worse, my brother's fiance has known the ex since childhood, and they had a beef when they were kids. My whole family, mom, sister, brother, has asked me to take down the photo out of respect for my brother's new relationship. During holidays, they have even taken it down without my permission and put sticky notes over the photo to block out the ex-girlfriend. I find this very hurtful on many levels, including the fact that I had a very small wedding without all the hoopla. My sister and brother's wedding required me to attend multiple events leading up to it and to spend a lot of time and money to celebrate them. Why can't they put aside their discomfort and just avoid looking at the photo? Or better yet, look at it and acknowledge that it was a snapshot in time and that everyone has a past. I have felt justified not taking it down over the past 2 years because until their engagement, they were on and off so frequently that I didn't think I should make any sacrifices for this woman who wouldn't be a part of our future. But now that they are getting married, I am getting anxious about having this conversation with them again, and I don't know what to do. Is it rude of me to keep the photo up? Is it rude of my family to ask this of me? They have asked me to Photoshop it, which I don't want to do because, honestly, it is annoying to do any labor for this problem that I find to be so ridiculous. When I toss the task back to them and explain that they have to find the exact file on the thumb drive, hire a Photoshopper, get it reframed by a professional, and pay for it all, they balk, and the conversation fizzles out. I don't want my family to not come to my house for holidays and parties because of this photo, but I don't want to give in to a request that I find absolutely ridiculous. This dilemma has been 2 years in the making. Prudy, can you help?
She seems like a fine person, just not someone I would naturally click with. I think I can translate that. I hate that bitch. She hates her so much.
She hates her so much.
And she would be happy to open the drawer and get the thumb drive out and do the little Photoshop work or have someone else do it if she didn't despise this woman and feel resentful about like her place in the family in relation to her brother. And
she's digging in her heels.
Yeah.
Big time. Mm-hmm.
So this is more advice for the brother and his fiance, if you're listening. Could you just kind of live with the photo and chalk it up to the letter writer having, you know, some of her own issues and being really stubborn? I feel like if you're in a happy relationship, you're about to get married, you love each other, you know there's this weird sister slash future sister-in-law in the picture who's obsessed with her own wedding picture, you could kind of live with it. Like, I don't think it would be hard to go to Thanksgiving and see this 2-inch image of another woman from years ago.
Completely agree. I also think for the letter writer, can you just like put the photo in another room?
Oh, that's a great idea.
During Thanksgiving? I mean, yeah, I know. It's like, what's worse, like hearing about this or putting the photo in your bedroom when your family comes over?
That's such a good idea.
That's it. And you know what? I didn't even think of addressing anyone that isn't the letter writer. But like, there's a lot going on here. And like, as a sibling with other siblings and lots of like dynamics and comparisons, like any family where you're mm-hmm. like, well, this person did this and I had to spend so much money to do this. Like, it's so telling to me that we got this context that was like, I had the smallest wedding.
Right.
I had the calmest wedding. All I want is this picture. But none of that has anything to do with anything. This picture makes people uncomfortable. It is your house. It is your picture. You are entitled to do whatever you want. But I also feel like digging your heels in on this issue has cost you 2 years of this argument.
Right.
And that's still something you have to deal with. So like, which do you want to deal with?
And I would argue, like, let me hop on my armchair, unlicensed, unqualified Please. Therapist couch. I think, letter writer, that you feel somehow underappreciated or unloved or not treated fairly by your family. And this photo, your stubbornness about this photo is standing in for your desire to insist on getting that love or getting that fair treatment or getting that equal attention. And the photo is not getting that for you. So you need to think about ways in your regular life, not necessarily on the holidays, that you can ask your family to treat you the way you want to be treated. And I don't know what that looks like, if it's more time, if it's more words of affirmation, if it's more affection, if it's just like more contact. But I can tell that you want more out of your family. And the idea that you had this small wedding with no hoopla, it's getting mixed up with the idea that you just would like to like be more of a star in your family.
I totally agree. And again, not a therapist, but like I can relate to the fact that you might think back on the last 40 years of your life and say like, these were all the times I did things I didn't want to do because of my brother's feelings, my sister's feelings, my parents' feelings. And this is the one thing I'm going to say no to. Mm-hmm. But I think it's still, you're holding the ember. You're still the one getting burned. Like, this is not a conversation you want to have every single time they come to your house. I would just kind of like, to make your life easier, like just put the photo like in a drawer just while they're there. They don't live at your house.
Right.
You can keep it up. And I also think the post-it note is funny because it's like a Barbara Streisand effect, like a Streisand effect
kind
of
thing. It draws so much more attention.
It draws so much attention.
So much. It makes it seem like someone behind this post-it is incredibly important. So important that we can't look at them. Everyone pay attention. You don't want that.
Exactly. And in terms of like future advice to anybody who might be listening to this, it is worth having some pictures at your wedding that include significant others, and also asking all the significant others that are not part of the family officially to stand out of a few shots.
That's
such a
good idea.
Because this stuff happens all of the time.
And also, I'll be getting letters about that too. You know,
yeah.
I've been dating my husband for 19 years and they tried to take a picture without me at the wedding. But I get it. At some point, you want the people who are definitely still going to be related no matter what, because you can't undo a biological relationship.
Absolutely. A friend of mine laughs because her mom came from like a big family, and in her oldest brother's wedding photo is one of her brother's girlfriends that, you know, is no longer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so when her mom got married, she had said to another brother's girlfriend, like, you cannot be in my photos. Like, look what happened to that. You know, this, of course, like those two ended up getting married and she's been in the family for 40 years and she's just not in the picture. But I think it's reasonable to be like family only, like, okay, not a big deal. And if you're the significant other, understand that. Do you want to end up in someone's wedding photos forever if you eventually break up with them? No.
I mean, that's a good point. This woman might be like, take me down off the wall, please. Hang me in the bathroom. I don't want to be seen
by
everyone.
I would be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If I found out I was like in the family like mural of a family I wasn't in, I mean, I'd be like, okay, I'll pay for the Photoshop. I don't know. That just like feels a lot to me.
Right.
But yeah, I think just explore your feelings about your place in the family.
Also, meet them halfway. If they're willing to get it photoshopped, like, do your part by finding the thumb drive. Give it
to
them. Let them do their thing and replace it in the frame. That's not very hard.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, just put it in your bedroom.
If they want it so badly, make them do the work and see what happens.
Yeah. And great advice about future pictures. We have to think about these things because life happens.
We do. It's 2023. Everything is photographed. You got to be able to move people out of the frame.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Dear Prudence Show, and when we come back, we'll be reading more of your letters. Stay with us. The New Stars series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and, did I mention, Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome back to Dear Prudence. I'm here with my guest, Caroline Moss, to answer your letters, and the next one is titled Burnt Bridges.
I haven't spoken to my sister in 5 years. During my engagement, my sister ruthlessly pursued my fiancé. She sent him flirty texts and badmouthed me to him while turning around and helping me with wedding plans. A mutual friend finally clued me in. I took my fiancé's phone and faked a text message to my sister. I told her I wanted to have sex right now and that the bitch had left for the day. I parked my car on a different street and waited. My fiancé was actually at work. My sister let herself in, all dolled up and with a bottle of wine. Then she saw me. To be concise, I kicked her out, broke up with him, and let everyone know what a conniving, backstabbing bitch my sister was. My parents keep pressuring me to forgive my sister. They wanted to put all the blame on my ex, and I refused to do so. Now she just had a baby boy. So my parents have switched tactics about how I will be denying an innocent child the chance to have a real family and a relationship with me. I have no desire to know my nephew because having a relationship with him means letting this mother back into my life. I would sooner cuddle a rattlesnake. How do I get through to my parents? There are some actions you can never come back from.
Well, in terms of divorce stories, I'm sorry this happened, but it's a fabulous story. If you have to tell one about why you got divorced.
I mean, this is like, this should be like a normal gossip by Dear Prudence crossover.
Yeah. So,
I mean, this is a, thank God. I mean,
She did a whole sting operation.
Yeah, seriously.
Totally successful.
Smart.
I'm a little confused factually about what the former fiance's role was, because I'm seeing that the sister pursued him. But I'm not exactly sure like what his role was, but I'm just assuming based on the end of the relationship that he was into it too.
Woof.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened, letter writer. I mean, seriously, it is really rough. I wonder if there's ever been an apology from the sister at all.
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, this is just toxic behavior. This isn't like a misunderstanding. This isn't, you know, I know we're only hearing one side, but I'm going to choose to believe this is just like the truth.
We have to.
I mean, it's hard. You don't owe your family anything. Like, this is a really huge betrayal. That's so hurtful. And it's just, I would have a really hard time coming back from that.
And, you know, there are a lot of people who don't have relationships with their siblings.
Yeah.
It's not what anyone plans when they have multiple kids. And it's not what anyone thinks will happen. But people distance themselves for much less serious reasons than this, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Just simply not getting along, not enjoying each other, different values. This woman went behind your back and tried to ruin your life. Like I said in the beginning, I guess what I mean is you couldn't have like more concrete evidence for cutting her out of your life. You couldn't have a better story to tell. So you can feel really confident in that.
There's no gray space here.
No, there really isn't.
This is horrible. Yeah.
There's only gray space if you hold on to sort of what I think is kind of an unrealistic and outdated idea about you need to be close with your family. Family comes first.
That's what I'm hearing here is that's what her parents want. And, you know, I understand this idea of like, let's just move on. But you are an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, assuming you do not live under the same roof as your parents, you're self-sufficient, you have your own life, you make the choices about who you let in your life. And family is family, yes, but I think we put a lot of weight on like a blood is thicker than water sort of idea. And that is true in squabbles of like, my sister like borrowed a piece of jewelry that I really love and lost it. Like we can like come back from that.
Right.
But like, this is a deep betrayal.
Right.
And it sounds like your parents just want to be like, can't we all just get along? Can't we all just be a family? Can't we all just like have a nice time? Look, you have a new nephew. It's so mean of you to deny him this fam. Like that's not on you, but I don't know that you are going to ever get that out of your family. You have to be okay with the fact that you're making this choice for yourself and they might never understand why you're doing that. Right. And it's okay.
And a lot of people are okay with the appearance of a happy family, even if everyone is secretly miserable and resents or even hates each other. A lot of people are like that. Clearly your parents are. And I guess I would say to your parents, like, either you think family is so important and valuable or you don't. And if you do, then you should be really, really mad at my sister for the way she betrayed me. Like, which one is it? You know, if family is so essential, then you should be just devastated that she would do this to her own sister. And it doesn't seem like they are. Again, because I think they mostly care about appearances and, I don't know, maybe convenience on holidays. I just want to add, too, that I also think it's smarter to never meet the nephew if she doesn't think this relationship will be resolved. Like right now, he's fine. He doesn't know her. He's not going to miss her. What would be hurtful would be if she had a relationship with this kid and he was 5 years old and then she decided to pull back and disappear from his life. So if you don't see a path toward total reconciliation, I would say absolutely stay out of the baby's life.
And it sounds like that's what she wants to do. She's like, I don't want to know my nephew because she knows she'll never be able to have a relationship with him that excludes her sister. And that's smart of her to know that. And I think, you know, it's a form of emotional manipulation to use a child, a baby who does not know what's going on and who, because he doesn't know you, therefore does not care about you and has no attachment to you. This is your parents reassigning their discomfort with the, you know, the rift between you and your sister and putting it inside a baby who doesn't know anything else. And that's not okay.
Right.
Like I would be worried if she had been like, well, I really want to have a relationship with my nephew, but I don't want to have a relationship with my sister.
That would be hard. Like,
Like there's just really no way to do that without sort of compromising how you feel about the entire situation that got you here in the first place. But I think it's like, if the question is, how do I get through to my parents? Sometimes you just don't.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. It's like a conversation we're always having about boundaries, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
You get to have them, but you don't get to force people to understand them. Like the reason it's hard to have them is that you just kind of have to sit there and just be okay with however people react. And that's the really hard part.
Boundaries are not like for making other people to respect. It's knowing like where your line is.
Right.
And where when you'll walk away when your boundaries aren't being respected, not forcing someone to change the way that they're being to continue to like have them around. And it's very hurtful when this happens with parents, but you won't get through to them. It sounds like she's tried. It sounds like you've tried. Knowing only what you've told us here, I think you can be okay with the boundary that you've set for yourself.
Again, like anyone is allowed to cut anyone off, but you really have the strongest possible case here. Like your parents to ask their friends what they think and report back. Yeah, I mean, don't, because that will just get messy and they shouldn't have that kind of input. But everyone, Everyone would back you up here.
1,000%. You should feel good about being 100% right, because rarely we don't get to be 100% right. But
totally.
You get to be 100% right here.
Exactly. Enjoy that. We'll send you a certificate. This is Dear Prudence. We need to take a break, but when we come back, more letters from you and advice from us. Stay tuned.
Where to Be a Woman is the podcast celebrating the best of women's well-being. I'm Sophia Smith-Gaylor.
And I'm Saatchi Kaul.
And we're on a quest to find out where in the world women are living their best lives.
We're hearing from some incredible women about what their countries are getting right.
And picking the best bits for our female fantasy land. Because you can't build it if you can't imagine it first. Where to Be a Woman from the BBC World Service.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Janae, and you're listening to Dear Prudence. Caroline and I are about to tackle our very last question for the day. Caroline, you ready? Okay, this letter is titled, Thank God We're Paying for the Wedding.
My partner of 6 years and I, both 30-year-old females, are in the thick of wedding planning. The issue is my father, who expects a typical father of the bride role. To put it briefly, I love him very much. And he was certainly never abusive, but in terms of good male role models, he has never made the top of the list. I'm not worried about the father-daughter dance. My partner and I don't like the idea of a first dance, so we're skipping the special dances altogether and just inviting everyone onto the floor straight away. What I'm worried about is the walk down the aisle. I would like my oldest half-brother and his wife to walk me down the aisle. My brother was 20 when I was born. I've known my sister-in-law since I was 6, and they've been there for me as mentors and friends my entire life. How do I break it to my dad? I don't think he'll throw a fit, but things will be frosty between us, and I've always struggled with asserting myself. Thank you.
So I honestly struggled with this, and I think it's because I just wished I had more information about exactly what the dad did. There's just a lot of room between not being a good male role model and being abusive or a really bad person. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of want to know, what did he do that was bad enough that she wanted to totally upend this tradition in his face while he's at the wedding and not have him walk her down the aisle? So in my mind, if he's done things like body shaming her, being homophobic, criticizing her relationship, saying he doesn't support it, even treating her unfairly compared to her siblings, maybe even being unfaithful to mom, things like that, I think would make this decision understandable. If it was just, you know, you weren't totally emotionally available, I just have a hard time saying you should have someone else walk you down the aisle in his face. What do you think?
This was a hard one, because I think also we have to go back to boundaries again, right? And parents mm-hmm. and families and everything's complicated. I think you're totally right. Like, we need more information. Whereas in the former letter, we very much had so yeah. much information. But I think with this, I think you're totally right. Weddings are yours. Mm-hmm. They are also, if you are including your families and things, it is also a day for them. These are people that love you and in their own role are celebrating with you. And I think it's totally fine to not have your dad walk you down the aisle if that's not what you want. Mm-hmm. And I also really try very hard to subscribe to the idea that, like, adults can manage disappointment. Mm. Like, your dad can be disappointed and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I would say that I want to know if he's going to feel like this is out of nowhere or if he is expecting this. And yeah. I think to add on to what you're saying, Janae, like, if all of these things, you know, the body shaming, the homophobia, not supporting the relationship, you know, and also, you know, abuse is a very broad
yes,
word.
It is,
I mean,
right.
He was certainly never abusive, but that doesn't mean, do you mean he didn't physically mm-hmm. harm you? Did he emotionally? Did he verbally? All of that to say, like, when you sit your dad down to say, like, look, I'm going to have my brother and sister-in-law walk me down the aisle, is he going to be disappointed but understand? Mm-hmm. Or is this going to be a conversation that he never knew you wanted to have and now you're having it for the first time? And that's loaded.
Right. The wedding planning process or the month before the wedding might not be the best time for him to learn that you didn't think he was a great dad.
Right. I think if you've never, ever had these conversations before and you want to have this conversation, having it tacked on to this very important day in your life might not help you or make you feel as
empowered
as you think it might make you feel.
Yeah, I agree. I think on a practical level, I kind of think you either want to have your dad or have no one walk you down the aisle.
I actually would agree with that.
Assuming he's not like done really awful things or been totally against your relationship.
If he's going to be at the wedding, yeah.
Right.
And if he's going to be at the wedding and someone's walking you down the aisle and you have a relationship with him, regardless of how great, but barring any like truly unforgivable abuse, I think it's a broad statement. I don't know what I'm saying, but what you said, which is like, there are things and there are things.
Yeah.
It's just like, I love that like our generation of like wedding havers, it's like people like to make their weddings like unique to them. Like, oh, this is so the couple. Like, you want to skip a first dance? Great. Like, I love that. Like, you don't want to do that? Great. You know, I think when our parents' generation, it's like everyone had the same wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, it was this. And I think there are some traditions you can absolutely skip. I think if your dad's going to be there and you have someone else walk you down the aisle, you're putting him in a very uncomfortable position for everybody else at the wedding to be like, wait, like what happened here?
Because in our culture, the person who walks you down the aisle isn't your favorite man.
Yeah.
It's your dad or someone else who raised you and is like symbolically releasing you from like your childhood household to the rest of your life, right? It's not it's not the best man in your life award.
That's right. And it's totally makes sense if you're like, wow, I hate this idea of like my dad brings me down the aisle and gives, I mean, you're already two women getting married, right? Like we're already throwing tradition on its head there and wonderful for it. The idea of our fathers walking us down the aisle is really rooted in like giving you to another man who now owns you and you take his last name. So it's like, it makes sense if you don't want any of that. But I think you're totally right. It's like, you're not just picking the man you like the best and he brings you down the aisle. Mm-hmm. It has like cultural implications. And if you want to get rid of those, it doesn't mean you don't love your dad. It just means you're walking yourself down the aisle.
Totally. Or even how about the dad and the half brother together? I think that could be nice. I think one of my good friends had her dad and brother walk her down the aisle together. I had my dad and mom just because, you know, my mom was there every single day. It just would have seemed weird to not have her there.
Yeah. In Jewish tradition, both parents walk.
Oh, really?
Both parents walk you down the aisle and both parents walk the groom down the aisle. So it's like it's nice. But it's like it's culture, it's history, and it actually is so far away from true meaning. And like a lot of people who don't have their fathers around, of course, have their brothers or an uncle or a grandfather. But like, you know, yeah, you can walk yourself down the aisle. I think that's great. And maybe give your brother who you love so much some other important job that isn't so absolutely to everyone in the room, sort of an invitation to get in your business. Because people will.
You can do a lovely reading. There's always room for one more reading. So yeah, letter writer, I think I would encourage you to think of this as a moment when you're kind of deciding on the trajectory of your relationship with your dad. So there's an opportunity to connect with him before the wedding and like try to repair the damage that's been done, get some apologies from him, plot a new path forward and have him there. There's an opportunity to just kind of keep things neutral and bring your half brother along and do that and still have your dad. And if he really is that bad, there's an opportunity to part ways and just not invite him to the wedding. But I think having him present and someone else walking you down the aisle is kind of the worst of both worlds. Think about it. Those are all the questions we have for this week. It's been fun and hopefully helpful. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun and kind of stressful.
Wasn't it? Sorry. Yeah. You did a great job. Thank you. People should take your advice on life in addition to all the things we spend our money on.
Yeah.
Listen and subscribe to Caroline's podcast, Gee Thanks Just Bought It, where she invites interesting, smart, savvy guests to rave about their favorite buys in the hopes of helping you become a smarter, more informed shopper. New episodes are available every Friday. Do you need help getting along with partners, relatives, coworkers, and people in general? Write to me. Go to slate.com/prudy. That's slate.com/PRUDIE. The Dear Prudence column publishes every Thursday.
If you'd like to hear your question answered on the podcast, we are looking for letter writers who would be comfortable recording their questions for the show. You can stay anonymous.
Dear Prudence is produced by Sierra Spragley Ricks with a special thanks to Maura Curry. Editorial help from Paola De Verona. Daisy Rosario is Senior Supervising Producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of Audio. I'm your Dear Prudence, Janae Desmond-Harris. Until next time.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.